What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
Alright, so we are back. Another episode of the What Is TWS podcast.
Yes, sir.
As always, I am J.Dot Flan, and across the table from me is my brother
Rich Nerve.
And we are the White Pants Society. Oh man. I hope at this point people get the idea of the White Pants Society, and it has nothing to do with white pants or white or any of that stuff. Like, I don't know. I wonder about that every once in a while. Y'all should...
You never know.
People don't talk to me. I don't have any friends other than Rich. But yeah, man, we're getting up there in the episodes. Don't know what this one is. I know we're getting close to 50. So we're going to have to do something for 50. But not for 50, but for our 50th episode. But I don't know exactly where we are right now. We're recording a lot of episodes at the same time, so... I'm not numbering them so that we can release them however we want to release them. This episode, we're going to try to get caught up. We've been away for a bit, and a lot is happening. World is going crazy, and I know all of you are waiting to hear what we have to say about it, because, you know, who wouldn't want my opinion?
Yeah, so this is going to be the playing catch-up episode.
We're going to play catch-up on this episode.
So a lot has been happening, yeah.
Right. I'm going to start it off with catching you guys up on what's going on with me. I am still in the midst of my struggles with Sprint, my cell phone carrier. I'm starting to feel like a dumbass. Like, I'm really, because I don't even know anybody else on Sprint. I think, like, everybody else in my circle seems to have been smart enough
to leave,
to either have avoided them or have left them. And I'm the only one, like, still rocking with them.
And you can still get those same kind of deals.
Yeah, on the carriers, you know. I just been with Sprint for so long, and you know, and this is a part of my rebellious nature, like because I've been with them, and people keep telling me that they shitty. I'm like, nah, you know, I gotta rep my phone carrier, like, you know, like it's the block I grew up on or something. Like, nah, I'm a rep Sprint. Sprint is all right. We gonna turn the corner. Y'all hating on us for no reason. But nah, I'm really getting sick of the. Really getting sick of the stuff.
Sprint's like, we can do whatever. People gonna stay. They know who the diehards are.
Okay. So yeah, I got like 3 lines with them, and got the whole family on there. So I don't know. I did cop the S8. I did go, and I didn't even realize I was getting it on release date. Like, I thought it was already out, and I actually pre-ordered it the day before it came. I could pre-order it on the 20th, and it was like, you can come pick it up on the 21st. I bet. I didn't realize I was like picking it up on the day that it dropped. So,
early adopter.
Yeah, I feel, you know, I feel cool. I've never been this cool to have like the hot phone, like immediately, you know. Every time I've stood in line for some phones, but they always been like phones nobody else gave a shit about. Like the Palm Pre and the...
I had my Palm Pre early, and that was a dope device.
Yeah, but it was like nobody in line.
Yeah, no.
I waited overnight. But yeah, Sprint is just, man, I'm so sick of the customer service, the bad customer service. I went to a Sprint store today because my wife is having major issues with her phone, and we paid for the insurance, the total equipment protection. So I expected to walk in there and be like, look, my phone doesn't work. It's got multiple issues, battery life, GPS, hard time receiving phone calls. I really expected for them to be like, all right, we just give you another
swap
one.
Swap it out.
Swap it something. Out. Nothing. You know, and not to do. I was pretty much told to contact LG. They told me I need to go to the manufacturer of the phone and tell them it's a manufacturer's defect and have them replace my phone, which I think is pure bullshit. I'm hoping that that's just that store, and I ran into an employee that didn't want to work that day, and I just need to go to another store and get somebody who cares about their job a little bit more, and that they'll take care of me. I'm hoping Sprint. But, you know, I'm going to murder y'all on these episodes until y'all get some act right, because I am not a happy customer. So, I mean, that was a weak rant, but that's what's going on with me. Other than that, the S8 is It's a pretty beautiful device. I can't say that I'm disappointed with it. Thought about the S8 or the G6. Me and Rich had a couple back and forths about it. The G6 to me definitely looked more like a phone. It had that like business sort of feel to it that I wanted. But at the end of the day, and it was way cheaper. But at the end of the day, I think the specs and the future proofing, the processor in the S8, just the look and feel of it, that swayed me. And MKBHD. I ain't gonna ask. But MKBHD, his review kind of swayed me, and a couple others kind of swayed me. So I'm an early adopter on the S8. I'll let y'all know how it goes. So now that I'm done,
I'm thinking about it. Trying to see if I can jump ship from Apple. I don't necessarily want to wait around to see what the new phone from Apple is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll say that about this phone is that of all the phones I've ever had, like, I think this phone, like, when I see someone with an iPhone and, like, the way it operates and the way it kind of looks and feels, the thinness and the smoothness of the operation, like, this is the first time I've had a phone where I feel like, this rivals what I think I see when I see people with an iPhone. I don't think I've ever had a phone before that had this kind of sleekness to it and the smoothness of the operation.
It's a nice looking phone. And I think I always leave Android and go back to Apple because of the sleekness of the device. And I'm already into the ecosystem. Although that's not even an excuse because I had the G1, the very first Android phone, and probably tons of flagships ever since. So I'm invested into both ecosystems. As soon as I go back to Android, every app that I've ever purchased is there. I use Android devices here and there as a backup device, so I've always had stuff to use. But, damn, it really makes me want to switch. It's a good-looking device. It's very thin, but the screen is huge. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. But what else has been going on with you, Rich? Was catch us up.
Not much. Right now, Renee is on her way home from Houston, so I'm just waiting for her to get back. They switched up her trips, though, so she had to switch her. She took a bus instead of a plane because it was just faster, and switched it up last minute. And she's here talking to me now. And
What up, Kicks?
Not a lot of good things to say. Apparently. Every ratchet person in Texas is on that bus coming from Houston to Austin.
Hey. So. I would kind of expect that.
Yeah.
Hey, at least she ain't get on the Mexican Greyhound like that.
So everybody on the bus said, hey, just watch your back and watch your shit.
Nothing against Mexicans, though. Nothing against Mexicans.
But apparently, the bus she's on, too, they didn't have any, like, overhead, whatever. Okay. So, it was only, like, check it under the bus. So, you mean to tell me you got to run off the bus?
Get to your stuff.
Yeah, fast. To get your shit. Who doesn't have, like, overhead? I mean, at least they got a power box. It's a weird-looking power box. But, oh, well.
Yeah, Renee, the Kicks don't strike me as a bus kind of person.
She's not. She wanted me to come back and pick her up. She doesn't do like buses.
Yeah.
And like I said, they changed everything, so she couldn't fly because it was last minute, and she would have had to get from where she was at to the hotel. I mean, to the airport, and then go all the way out and come all the way back. And it was just easier, because they switched her travel plans at the last minute to fly. But for me to go pick her up, it would have been another 400 miles there and back. And that was a long drive. I dropped her off in Houston, and we left home at about 5:30 so we can beat Austin traffic, but got there just in time to hit Houston traffic. And they got damn near 8 lanes, so their traffic is worse than ours. Yeah. And GPS is like telling you to do one thing, but you don't know how Houston traffic works, so therefore it's telling you to turn left, but their left is really not a turn, but a veer. Then I just got used to Austin traffic because ours is shitty and having to deal with that. So we pulled up to her her place at about 8:30, 8:45 or something like that, just for me to stop, get some coffee, use the bathroom, and then turn around and come back. So I don't know if I had it in me to do that again. I spent about $50 in gas. Because I clock in good gas mileage with the Rogue, but I mean, it's still an SUV.
Yeah.
200 miles is 200 miles. So I don't think I could have did that drive again, like right back to back. I wouldn't have been able to do it. I'd have had to actually leave here probably about like one something, maybe two, to beat that weekend traffic. So I didn't have it in me. I will pick her up from the bus stop. But outside of that, nothing major going on. Still trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my phone upgrade. And I've only been holding off for so long because I know they got the iPhone 7S, 7S Plus, and iPhone 8 coming out at the same time. So I'm like, you know, that could be a birthday present, and that would be my excuse to spend that much money on a device because it's going to be coming out for my birthday. Or I can honestly just use my upgrade and go now because I need a phone. Her phone is cracked. She needs a phone. Why not?
Decisions, decisions.
Yeah.
I don't know. But let's see. What we sipping? I'm having Rich try out this Central Market organic Italian soda.
Lime coconut.
This is the lime coconut flavor.
It's a peculiar taste, but you
put the lime in the coconut and drink them bowl up.
It's kind of weird. It's like, but I'll drink it.
Yeah. All right, it's one of my favorite flavors. I got the lemon. I had a little bit of the lemon left, but the lemon is like, it's like super lemon. Like this is like extra tart, but for some reason I like it. I guess I like citrus sodas. I like Squirt. I like Mountain Dew. Not a big fan of like Sprite and Sierra Mist and stuff like that, but I do like very tart citrusy sodas. All right, that's enough just random bullshit.
Yeah, so basically, like you said, we're going to be playing catch up.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll start off with this one. You can lead into the next one because the next one, I don't think I know as much about it as you do. So this one, I read about this. I saw the video live a few weeks ago when I was at work. I think we spoke about this briefly. And I was just like, what in the fuck? This, what I'm referring to is the elementary school shooting in California, in San Bernardino.
Yeah.
It's a teacher's husband goes up to the school. They're asking like, you know, what are you doing here? And they recognize him as her significant other, the teacher's significant other. He goes to the classroom to see the wife. I guess they got into an argument or whatever the case was before that. And while in her classroom, he draws a weapon, shoots and kills her, shoots and kills an 8-year-old child that was hiding behind her. It was two. So he shot at her. Two of the children were trying to hide behind her. One of the children he hit was an 8-year-old who he killed. The other child was a 9-year-old who was wounded. And was sent to the hospital, and then he also killed the wife.
Yeah.
Now, number one, what the fuck happens that you feel like you gotta snap and go after your spouse? If shit is going down and you feel like, you know, you don't want to be a part of a relationship, you can't take it, you better off just leaving. Like, you know, don't go off the deep end doing all types of willy-nilly. You know, I've had my heart broken. I've been through some shit. I've had my head messed with. My first thought is not like, let me go up to elementary school and pull out a gun. Fuck is wrong with these people? That's number one. Number two, who the fuck pulls out a gun in an elementary school?
Right.
You know, it, kids, it doesn't make any sense. And then you see the kids hiding behind her. You're going to open a fire anyway, and then you're going to shoot yourself. Like, it's the most retarded shit. Like, I have no sympathy, no remorse for this guy because his actions made no sense. And the third, to follow up on something that you said the other day, if you were going to kill yourself anyway,
exactly,
and that was going to be the end result, cut out the middleman. Right. Leave all of these other innocent people alone. You're in a headspace where you don't want to be here. You know, a life is a life. We hate to lose a life. But at the same time, if you're going to take your life, take your life. Don't stupidly take the lives of other people as well. People. Especially children. Especially like, that doesn't make any
elementary sense. School, an 8-year-old. An
8-year-old.
Scarred several kids for life, probably. You know.
Those kids are going to be dealing with therapy sessions and bullshit for the rest of their lives.
PTSD.
That child's parents who lost his life and his family, they're going to be, oh man, it's I just, It's I'm almost flabbergasted. I stammering over my words because it just doesn't make any sense. Like the callousness and the way that people just have hold no regard over human life these days is it's beyond me. I don't understand how you can do something at an elementary school. I was watching the news report live at work, and I'm like, shooting at an elementary school? The fuck? And they just had a major shooting incident in California a few years ago. So it's like, I'm thinking it's another kid or something. Thank God it wasn't that. But shit, you got mad at your wife, so you just blowing people up?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. You know, I'm not a proponent of suicide or anything, but if you reach that point, like something has happened that makes you give up on life. Just give up on your own life.
That's something you got to deal with within yourself. I hate that mentality. I'm taking you with me.
I mean, if that's your wife, there was no other opportunity. Again, I don't want to make it seem like, all right, so you was going to kill yourself and your wife. Cool. Like, now that hope, you know, in the perfect scenario, we don't come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
But let's say you do come to the conclusion that you got to kill yourself and your wife. If she's your wife, there had to be some other opportunity to get to her. You gotta
wait till she's at work.
Then to go to the elementary school.
You can't do it over dinner?
Shoot her in front of some kids. You know, even if you had not hit any of the other kids, you gonna shoot your wife and yourself in front of some kids? Like, in front of some little kids?
Them kids are scarred for life.
Messed up. Like, I don't know. I was looking at it while you were talking, looking at the story to try to, get some details on it. I was hoping that there was, like, something I could pin this on and blame it, but this dude was 53 years old. This wasn't like
grown ass man.
This is a grown ass man. Like, you've been through some stuff. You've been through heartache before. You should be wise enough.
You know.
At this point, you know how to conduct yourself. Like, this, like, we are just, as a parent, it just frightens the shit out of me. Like, the world is crazy. I don't know if the world has always been this crazy, and it's just this new era where we get news so fast and from so many different sources. Like, we are aware. Like, maybe we just weren't aware of all the shootings that were happening before, or if people have just gone crazy in the last couple of years and shit is
something's going on, but something got to give. Like, this shit is coming every week. It's rapid fire, more and more and more. And true, I credit it to the fact that more and more is made available. But I mean, we've had news outlets since the internet is not nothing new. But this shit it's getting crazy now.
Yeah, I like I said, I just don't get it. It makes me very sad. It makes me very sad, Rich. Like, and we just experienced such, a loss of life recently. Like, just people are, deciding to commit suicide, taking other people with them on left and right. And it's, we're killing over religion. We're killing over everything. You're heartbroken. You got to kill somebody. You don't agree with somebody's beliefs. You got to kill somebody. Like, I don't know, I've never been a gun person. I never handled a weapon, never shot a weapon. I understand that there are people who are into guns recreationally, and they don't want their guns taken away. But something's, like, these weapons are ending up in hands of people who do horrific things with them. Like, it got to be some sort of stopgap at some point. Like, we got to find a way to put an end to some of this. And if the end game is less people can have weapons, I guess I'm okay with that. I'm okay with less people having access to weapons. Mm-hmm. If that means I don't have to wake up and hear about a man going into an elementary school shooting his wife and two kids. Like, that, I'll take that trade, because guns don't mean anything to me. Maybe they mean something to you. So, I can understand why you feel differently.
Yeah, because the shit is crazy.
It's a crazy mad world, man.
So, in keeping with playing catch up, this next one, this is another one. Like, it's right. Like, you read the headlines and it's like, huh, what the hell is going on here? But then when you delve into the story,
the fuck,
this is just like the JPEG shit all over again.
So, I hate to say, like, this is a little more lighthearted than the last one.
You know what it is?
What is it?
Mentally, me. Yeah. Like, I feel like I am laughing to keep from crying, because this is just, it's tragic and it's so emotionally gut-wrenching that if you don't try to take your mind off of it and find a slither of levity just for a minute in order to get through the story, it can definitely take you because it's once again dealing with the death of a child. I don't know if you want to go ahead and read this one, but I'm laughing to keep from crying because it's I'm the type of person where it would affect me emotionally and internally, and I can sort of see what the parent might be dealing with, and it's crazy.
Now, so I'll go into this one because this one bothers me on so many different levels, and so basically. There was an 11-year-old kid. Where did this happen? This happened in Michigan.
Yeah.
11-year-old kid who, unfortunately just made the choice to commit suicide. His reason for committing suicide was that he believed his 13-year-old girlfriend, had just done the same thing. His 13-year-old girlfriend was dead. And, I guess that meant he wanted to die too.
He couldn't, at that age, he could not see his life.
He couldn't see his life without this 13-year-old. And so now the mother and the police are going after the 13-year-old girl who, this was apparently a prank on social media. She used a friend's phone and posted some messages about herself committing suicide. And that's how the little boy learned that of her supposed death. And so the parent and the police are now, you know, going after this girl, I guess, you know, making her somewhat liable for the 11-year-old's death. And it's a lot of this stuff bothers me about, like, you know, so one. Okay. I'm not trying to laugh, but I got a question. The mom that now wants to blame the 13-year-old, to me, is partly trying to deflect blame from herself.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to understand how an 11-year-old can hang themselves in their room and nobody really be aware of what that. I mean, for all of this to have taken place, this kid had a lot of
unsupervised time
to be on an internet and having this social media relationship with this 13-year-old girl. A lot of this had to, you know, it couldn't have happened if somebody was supervising an 11-year-old a little more closely.
Yeah. And even said, to your point, the mom didn't realize what was going on. She assumed he was up in his room watching TV or playing on his phone or doing something. But even with that, how much unsupervised time, you know what I mean? Like I never got that much unsupervised time. Like I'd be in my room on my phone. I can't even say my phone. Those days I didn't have a phone, playing my video game or watching TV or doing whatever. But periodically your parent walks in your room or they'll call you out of your room. Yeah. What you doing?
I wasn't even really allowed to have my door closed.
I had open door policy. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But and so they can walk in at any time, but then they can also call my black ass out at any time for status report. What you doing? All right, go back. Cool. Yeah.
And then the other thing is like, what are we doing? I feel like we're at this point where like people are super sensitive. Like I'm not trying to sound callous about this. Like this kid should have been able to take a heartbreak, but you know, what's going on with an 11-year-old? Yeah. Like, how deep of a relationship, you know, could you have been in
at that age?
At that age, that you found out your girlfriend's dead. Yeah, because
that wouldn't have been my thing.
And you kill yourself. Like,
I would have been, oh shit, this motherfucker just killed himself. Yo, Jared, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I might have been crying. I might have been sniffling. I might have been emotionally upset. I would have been on the motherfucking phone, screaming, running around the house.
I might have ran downstairs to tell my mother.
Yeah, I would have been like something. I would have, my immediate reaction would be freak out, communicate with somebody, not kill myself too. And I'm the type of person knowing that anything can happen, anything can be out there. I might want to verify this shit. That's just me.
We live in an era of fake news.
I might want to verify this.
I might hit up the friend whose account this was coming through and be like, yo, what? So-and-so just committed
suicide? And then you got to, first of all, why does this 11-year-old have a 13-year-old girlfriend? I just want to put that out there.
I was getting
want to judge. I had to just address that before.
There's so many missteps. There's so many things that built up to this that I feel like could have been prevented. And so now, like, they're considering this cyberbullying.
Yeah.
And they're going after
they're charging this
13-year-old.
What did it say? What is the charge?
Right, what's the
She's being charged with telecommunication services, malicious use. So,
and I mean, using a computer to commit a crime. So now saying that you committed suicide on the internet is using a computer to commit a crime?
Yeah. If you know that it's going to emotionally impair the judgment of said person.
How do I can't.
It's the JPEG thing all over again.
I'm not in your head. I can't.
It's the JPEG thing. She knew he was emotionally vulnerable. It's the JPEG thing all over again. When that man sent that dude that JPEG with them flashing lights, he knew he was going to cause a seizure and that man was going to fall out.
Hey, I'm saying. All right, so catfishers everywhere. Y'all need understand.
I got to chill.
Y'all got to chill. Because you are now liable for shit when it goes south.
It's 2017.
It's a 13-year-old girl.
People, I can't even say for the most part. Some people are now being held liable for their actions. Obviously, not all of them, because black people dropping left and right by the hands of a white cop and nothing happening. But by law, people are being held for their actions.
And this is being held responsible for somebody else's actions, in my mind. Like, she's 13, so you can't tell me that she fully understood what this 11-year-old boy was
going to do at
13. She's 13.
I got a list of questions, though. Why was he alone all that time by himself? Why do they both have video phones? Why is this 11-year-old dating a 13-year-old? What made this 13-year-old think that pranking her boyfriend on an extreme level was a good idea? And what gave her the idea to prank him on an extreme level and that thing be her committing suicide? And then she ropes people in for backup. So then this is like a group thing now. So does the friend, you know what I'm saying, get charged too? Because it came from the friend's phone.
She's your friend that her use the phone.
You know what I'm saying? It's just so much shit.
But then we have, Mante Teo, who had I don't know if they ever determined whether that was catfishing or not, but he had a girlfriend he had never met that like died of leukemia or some shit. Like, and then he started donating money and being like this big cancer, cure for cancer dude or something. Like, so if they ever find that person, are they now liable for all the good things that Mante Teo did because he thought he had a girlfriend that died of cancer? Like, I don't know. This is a 13-year-old. The same way the 11-year-old didn't have the maturity to understand
the mental capacity
to understand the situation he was in, and that there were a million other options other than taking your life. There's no way that this 13-year-old understood that me making this prank and saying I'm gonna kill myself or I killed myself is gonna cause this irreparable damage to another human being. It's not possible. It's not 13. That's all you have to tell me. I don't care what ethnicity the girl was, 13. You don't have that kind of decision making prowess.
What did she expect from this prank?
Probably not. She might have thought. I can imagine at 13.
I'm not saying that I'm not trying to allude to the fact that she thought like he was going to kill himself. But what was the end result? Like, what do you think he was going to like? You got me.
Maybe
what?
She's a bad breaker upper, Rich. And she didn't know other way to get out the relationship. Maybe he was clingy, Rich. Maybe he's that sensitive that every time she tried to break up with him, he cried or some shit, and she couldn't get out the relationship.
Maybe if I'm dead, he'll move on.
I'm a fucking dead. Do
this
something.
This shit is crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. I'm sorry the little kid committed suicide, but we got to start teaching.
I need more facts to formulate a real opinion.
And we can't pass this blame off. And
that's the other thing. That's one of the things that people say are what's plaguing the millennials these days, the fact that they don't have a thick skin. Like, we're spending so much time trying to protect them that we're not investing in the time in making them strong. Yeah. And I was a quote that I read somewhere, and it said, we expect, how'd it go? We expect our kids to make decisions in the real world when the day before they had to raise their hands to use the bathroom, it's a real quote. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you expect these people to just be thick-skinned and know how to be an adult, and it just doesn't work that way. We're spending so much time in these schools and in the world, like, and at home, sheltering these kids They don't know how to deal with emotional issues. That's what I'm saying. They don't know. We're coddling them. Well, not we, because I'm not that type of person. But these kids are being coddled so much, and then you put them in the real world the next day, and they're supposed to immediately know how to turn on that switch and deal with it. And this is another case of that. These kids, he should have been able to know how to take a, not necessarily take a joke, but deal with that emotion a little bit differently and process a death of a loved one in a different way. I don't want to judge how people grieve, but I don't know personally anyone who would have seen this and that would have been their first thing. You might have broken down. You might have yelled. You might have screamed. Reach out to someone. Freak out. But I don't know that that would be their first reaction. But my generation is a little bit of a thicker skin. We dealt with things differently, and you're faced with things. So that way, it does make your skin a little bit thicker. Something's got to give.
Nah, Rich. So I was in middle school. So I must have been in like the seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And maybe that might be around the same age.
Yeah,
I may be close to the same age, but I remember being in the seventh grade, and it was a girl at my school who didn't have a whole lot of friends or whatever. People made fun of her a lot, and you know, I'm sort of famous throughout my life for friending people that nobody else wanted to be friends with. And I tried to at a certain point, and then she got like crazy with it. And then at one point, she started sending me pictures of like a bloody knife and stuff. Like she basically threatened, like, if I wasn't her friend, she was gonna kill herself. And like she gave me a date and everything. Like, I'm gonna kill myself on this day. Not only did I not go to anyone, now that I think about it, like, nigga, you really fucked up. This could have gone way bad for you. Not only did I not tell anyone about this, but no, I did not give in to her demands of friendship. And I kind of came to school that next day, like, is she here? But of course, she didn't kill herself. But you know, I don't know, like. The whole situation bothers me, but the fact that they are vilifying this 13-year-old, who I'm not excusing her actions, like, you know, faking your death or whatever. But it's a 13-year-old thing. Like, it's something a 13-year-old wouldn't understand, you know, how somebody else is going, or even have the mental capacity to be empathetic enough to think, to be able to put themselves in somebody else's shoes and say, how is this person going to react to this kind of news? You know, I don't think my wife can always has enough empathy to understand how something she says and something she does affects me, you know. So a 13-year-old, of course she didn't. I don't think she should have done what she did, but she in no way understood what she was doing. And you're going to try to, you know, give her criminal charges on this? I mean, if all you're trying to do is charge her to scare her, to make her understand the gravity of it, I get it. But if y'all trying to send her, like, to a juvenile facility or something, because of this, would it have been here's my question, Rich. Would it have been a crime if he didn't kill himself? Is it still a crime?
Or I don't think so.
Or is it just a teenage prank?
It would have been a prank. It becomes a crime because now death is involved.
Right. So she's liable for his actions. She's liable for his emotional state.
Because I can argue it either way. So like, if you try to steal a car, you go to the car and your intent is to steal the car, but you can't get in the door. Do you get charged for attempting to steal a car, or do you get charged for stealing a car?
But that's attempting to commit, like, you know, your objective was to try. Your objective was to try to steal that car. What was she trying to do? I think she might have just been trying to break up with dude.
Well, she succeeded in breaking his heart.
All right, it's not funny at all, people, but.
It's just fucked up.
It's fucked up.
It's one of those things.
All right. Let's move on. Let's catch up with something else. Do we have anything?
Yeah.
Anything less? Where somebody doesn't die in his next
one. No. Okay. So, the man on a United Airlines flight.
Right, he ain't died, but he got fucked.
So I watched the video, and I watched the video several times, and I saw the one video where it compiled all of the different angles that everybody streamed together. And I was watching it, and you can see as they're dragging him and his leg is stuck under like the arm of the plane. I was like, y'all about to break his leg. So then like hitting him and like picking him up. And then his whole shit was fucked up. Like for a seat. Damn, for a seat.
Sorry. So here's my thing. I'm going to take, I'm gonna take the road less traveled. I'm gonna take the asshole road. And maybe this is just me, because I grew up black. You know, I grew up in a black household, and I think we are taught not so much a respect, but maybe a flat out fear of authority. And so we don't buck system, you know. And I won't say that, because I'm pretty sure somebody gonna pull up like a million video clips of some black kid yelling at a police officer or something. But the way I was brought up is, you know, is that I have a natural fear / respect of authority. And regardless of whether I think I'm in the right, because I understand one important concept, and I've tried to make this clear several times. More times than not, the majority of times, there are very few times where the other is true, but more times than not, being right is not good enough.
Yep.
The fact that you are in the right, or you feel like you're in the right, does not win you any motherfucking arguments. It does not
constitute a win.
It doesn't constitute a win. So even if I feel like I'm right, but an authority figure is telling me to do something, even if I feel like I shouldn't have to do it, I'm going to comply. I'm going to comply. Why? Because I want to stay safe. Because I don't know. I don't feel like I can necessarily win that battle. I'd rather lose the battle and then try to win the war. I want to live to fight another day. So if you on an American Airlines flight, United Airlines. Let me not put that on anybody.
And a sidebar before you finish. I'm the same way. So I don't think I would have even let it to get to that level. That's number one. Number two, with all of the consolation prizes that I was getting, I probably would have accepted it by that point.
Yeah.
They gave them people $1,000, a hotel stay, and booked them onto another flight, probably upgraded for like the next flight going out.
Yeah.
I probably would have taken the $1,000, free hotel stay, and upgraded next flight. Yeah. But that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. He said
he had to be home because he had surgery to perform on Monday.
And I understand the gravity of that. But there was a point, and I believe this to be true. I wasn't there, but I believe there was a point in which you can see you're not going to win. They are going to drag
you
off of this plane.
And that's the turning point. At the point where it turns from, I am no longer asking you, I am telling you.
Get
and security
plane.
Came up. Police came on, you know shit is about to get real.
Yeah. Walk off the plane mad.
I'd have been mad as a motherfucker. And I don't care who it is, everybody talking about, nah, they would have beat their asses. You wasn't about to sit there and hit that cop.
Not on no plane. Not on no plane. Nigga, they not playing on
these
planes.
You know how easy it is to slap somebody with a terrorism charge?
Yeah, exactly.
In today's climate?
You
want
to know how easy it is? Go to an airport and say bomb. Say bomb. Just go to an airport.
You can't
and like,
say it on a
hey,
block.
Hey yo, that shit was the bomb. See what the fuck happened to you.
So it's. I don't think that me personally, I could have done some shit like that. Not on no motherfucking airplane.
Nah, I don't.
I'm not trying to hit a cop in general. I'm the wrong color to be hitting cops, unless like it's like life or death, and they're point blank attacking. Like, you know, unless you're actively defending yourself and you feel like legit threat for your life and your family's life, and you know like you're going down.
Yeah.
If we're standing here having a conversation, and I it couldn't have been me. It couldn't have been me.
Now, I mean, now on the flip side, like you said, do I agree with the way they drug him off? But how many different ways are there to drag somebody off a plane? If somebody's refusing to get up, and you have to get them off the plane, like, so now my job is not to understand why you don't want to give up your seat. My job is not to help you feel better about giving up your seat. We've made those attempts. You know, my job now is to get you off of this plane, you know, but, you know, yeah. How many different ways are there to drag someone off a plane who doesn't want to get off a plane? It's a narrow little corridor.
It's
you
only
know,
one. You do
it's
it.
Not easy. You just do it. And so I feel sorry for the dude that he ended up with those kind of injuries. But,
you know, what was crazy?
It didn't have to happen.
No. And after they did it, he was all bloody and beat and messed up and stuff like that.
Like the first time something would have hit me, I'd be like, all right, I'll walk off the plane. Something hit me in the face. My lip is bleeding. We're not going to continue to drag me while my lip bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me get up.
My leg, I can't. You're telling me to get up. You're trying to pull me up. I can't get up. I don't know if you see this or not. I'm literally stuck in this motherfucking seat. Yeah. The armrest is what's keeping me in here. I don't want you to break my leg. Let me just shift it a little bit. But and after that, so I was reading the apology that United Airlines submitted, and they said, yeah, the guy, he was on a plane, and he was yelling, and he was belligerent. First of all, before he left, we all saw the footage. He wasn't yelling. Nothing was happening until he was physically accosted. That's number one. Number two, he somehow evades them and runs back on the plane, and he's like, kill me, just kill me, kill me. Did you see that part?
I didn't see that part.
So he runs back on the plane, and he's like, I gotta go home, I gotta go home. And he's like, he's bruised, and he's bleeding, and he's like clutching the curtain in the aisle. And he's like, kill me, kill me, kill me. And Renee is like, I'm watching her, and she's like, why is he saying kill himself? I was like, well, you know, that's their culture. He probably, at this point, feels like publicly ashamed for his family. He's like, fuck it, kill me. Like, what else you gonna do? You beat me in public. You know, you're trying to deface my name. Like, fuck it. Take me out. Like, for certain people, like, that's what they have. Like, their honor and their humility. And he felt ashamed. And he's like, kill me. First of all, how the fuck did he get past them to run back on a plane? I have no idea. But he's sitting there yelling, kill me, kill me. And then, as I mentioned that to say, and the original note from United Airlines, it wasn't an apology. They said we had to do what he had to do.
Yeah.
Because he was being belligerent. He was belligerent after you kicked his ass. What do you expect somebody to do after you whooped their ass?
You know, I'm just saying, like you said, once it was flipped from, sir, we would like you to exit the plane, to, sir,
shit got real.
You have to exit the plane. We're going to take you off of this plane one way or another. Like, that's, once it went from being a request to a demand, you have to submit to authority. You're not going to win. You can win later. You can fight the battle in court. You can fight the battle in public opinion, whatever. I don't know. I'm not into fighting unwinnable fights. I'm not into getting my ass whooped for nothing. Like, you know, like, hey, if I'm gonna get my ass whooped, let it be for something legitimate.
He got fucked up, maybe, and then he went home and he was like, I should have took that $1,000. But he has a lawsuit out now, so.
And that's a shame. Like, you can sue people for. I'm with the airline. Like, I know that's not the popular opinion, but I think they exhausted every avenue they had in terms of offering people stuff and trying to find someone to volunteer to get off this plane, and somebody had to get off the plane. It's probably in the fine print somewhere when you buy the ticket that this can happen, and when it happens, this is what we're going to do. You ain't read the fine print because nobody does.
No, but I read somewhere it was like a 51-page... 51 excerpt fine print. So I ain't know anyone.
Nobody reads it.
That much fine print?
But it's in there somewhere. It's probably in there somewhere. So they was well within their rights to kick you off the motherfucking plane. Like, just go. I'm not going to buck. I've been kicked out of places that I didn't think I should have got kicked out of. I didn't think I did anything. I didn't think it was lawful. But I'm not going to fight the security guard because I'm going to lose that battle.
It's crazy.
Like, it's certain people that once you touch them, now you've committed a crime, and they can do, you know, and they can retaliate. Like, you know, it's just, I don't know. That's me. So that's how I took that whole situation. Like, I know I don't have the mentality that, and the way I look at it when people do it is entitlement. You believe that if you think you're right, then everybody else should wait to yield to your rightness.
And what's crazy is it didn't matter how much he thought he was right.
He was coming off that plane.
Yeah. See what it was in their right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, people? You're right if it's in their right.
Hey, that's what I'm telling you, people. I'm telling you, children, if you're listening, one, she's not worth suicide. And two, being right is not enough. It's my PSA for the afternoon.
Crazy.
All right. What we got? I think we still got time to do this.
This last one?
Do this other one. Because I really do want to talk on this since I worked it. So, I don't know. You know the story more than I do. I'll let you.
So basically, at the White House, and I don't know all of the sides. I think in March, someone jumped the fence, scaled the fence at the White House onto the property. But I think the east fence he jumped or something like that. I think he scaled the fence on the east side, or whatever. So I don't know what the fence is called that's directly facing the front of the White House.
Yeah.
But they've, over the last couple of months, it was against the law to, I guess, go walk on that side of the sidewalk at night. In between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m., that sidewalk has been off limits for the past couple of months. And now Secret Service has issued a statement saying that that sidewalk, effective immediately, is now off limits at all times. You can no longer walk on that sidewalk. If you want to take a picture, stand in the street. Stand across the street. You can't stand on the sidewalk near the White House. Period.
Did they mention the park that's right across the street? Like, can you... You probably can't be in that park either, but... All right. So I worked there for 2 years during the Bush administration. And during the Bush administration, there was like a shit ton of protests and stuff outside. There were people that pretty much lived in that park across from the White House and, you know, had their signs in a tent, and they just woke up in the morning, came out the tent, put their sign back up, and continued their protest. Like, that's just a way of life. So it always amazed me how close you could get, like, because you can walk directly up to the gate. You can put your hands through the gate, like, you can get that close. But that has always been open. I mean, if you work there, you know, that's a lot of times how you get to work. You walk through that area. That, you know, that's it's a thoroughfare. Like, it's going to be difficult for it's going to make people have to go way out of their way to get to certain places. Like, if you're on one side. If you're over on G Street and you're trying to get to another side of G Street, you're going to have to do some special maneuvering to get around the White House now. But I feel like, you know, I feel like the person in the office is the reason that they have to do it now. There is that much disdain for this man. Like, when Obama was in office, they didn't have to close that. And, you know, and people weren't happy about Obama. They were protesting, the same protests that always been out there. When Bush was in office, they didn't have to close it. And, you know, and people weren't happy about Bush, and there was plenty of protests and things going on. I'd come out, and people would be like, "You work for that fascist, and don't let them shoot you in the face." I mean, there would be people waiting for me when I came outside of work, but they never had to close that sidewalk. This shows you how much disdain there is for this individual, that they have to close that sidewalk. That sidewalk has been open to the public.
A public sidewalk at that.
And even the public that couldn't stand the president and stood out there, and their only reason for being out there was to yell at the fence. But, you know, what, you know, is did it come from him? Is he like, "I'm tired of looking outside and seeing an angry mob," or what? I don't know. I've never known that they would close that sidewalk from time to time if there was like a dignitary or something in the area, or you know, it was going to be a lot of traffic back and forth, you know, from, because the residences across the street from the White House are where like dignitaries and stuff stay when they come to visit. So if there was going to be a lot of movement back and forth across this street, they close the sidewalk off. Or if somebody was driving in, they close that sidewalk off. But to just like blanket across the board, "You can't come over here no more." Like,
that's crazy.
Either there was some people trying to do some serious things, or it's a lot of ego tripping going on.
Yep. North fence, south fence. There's no more. You can't go. Don't even attempt it. That's pretty crazy. That's honestly.
Obama was in office 8 years, and that sidewalk didn't close.
Whole sidewalk, go around. Just go. That's a
long way.
That's a long way to go around. Yeah. That's fucked. You can't go down that sidewalk. That shit's crazy.
I wonder about the park, because there's a park directly across. Also, like, can nobody stand in that park?
And then the release says, it will lessen the possibilities of individuals illegally accessing the White House grounds. And they're saying stem back to that man who scaled the fence back in March. And he was on the property's grounds for 16 minutes before being detained. So,
and that's another one.
And they said President Trump was inside of the White House at the time of that March 10th incident. So,
and that's the stuff that like surprises me. Because from what I knew from being there, like, people are watching the fucking fence.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You don't get over the fence.
Aren't there cameras on the fence? Yeah. There's guards on the fence. There's people fucking spikes on the fence.
People ready to take you out.
That's the part that I don't understand. Yeah. From everything I've seen, and you've been there personally, for everything I've seen, so everything you tell me just corroborates it. How do you even make it that close to... Nobody saw you scaling this fence? Nobody was around this fucking fence?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's not like the view was... It's not like there's an obstructed view, though. A fence that spans the front of the fucking White House. Nobody saw you climb a fence in front of the White House.
I think I've told you the story where I had a guard apologize for not shooting me because I went someplace I wasn't supposed to go. So it's not like when you cross a line, it's not like they have to say stop. they can just shoot you. So how somebody gets over the fence and spends 16 minutes on the other side of the fence, you know.
That's what makes it seem like this shit is like fake or setups or who the White House is one of the most protected places
in the world.
What the fuck? I can't fathom that.
And that to me why you could let that sidewalk be open, because as close as you could get, there was a limit. You know, you can get this close, but try to get closer and see what happened to you. It never was an issue for anybody because the fence is being watched. I can let you walk right up to the fence because I know if you go over top of that fence, I got you, you know. So why it needs to be closed, to me, either means there's somebody that keeps looking out the window and like, oh, they don't like me, or...
Exactly. Something else is something going on there.
So I don't know.
They're trying to keep people further back. I don't know. It's just weird.
It's just weird. It's weird. But that's the world we live in. We got sensitive presidents. I don't want to keep calling that 11-year-old sensitive, but business, she's not worth it. She's not 11-year-olds right now. There is no relationship that you are going to be in right now that's going to last the rest of your life. At best, a relationship that you're in today may last 3 months from today. But nobody you meet right now, no matter how in love you think you are, I can guarantee that you are not going to be with that person 20 years from now. 10 years from now.
Unless you're happily married. Tammy, don't listen to them.
Now, I'm talking about an 11-year-old.
Oh, got it. I thought you were talking about people in general.
No, at 11, there's no relationship you're going to be in that's going to last that long.
I don't even...
So there's no reason to think...
Outside of family, and if that, I don't even... Do I know anybody I know at 11? That's a long-ass time.
I know I'm on Facebook.
You're not active, like friends.
Your 11-year-old life is really only your 11-year. When you're 12, you probably have a whole new life, you know. Again, so there's nothing going
on. That's the beauty of childhood. You're going to reinvent yourself every time anyway.
A million times. So there's nothing going on at 11 that is worth not experiencing the rest of life. There is so much more time. There is so much more time. You know, I am 35, which means I lived 24 years past 11. I lived 11 three times already. There's so much more life.
It was crazy. I don't
to 11. So there's nothing going. There's nothing possibly that can be going on right now at 11 that is worth not experiencing the rest of what life has to offer you. So please, no matter what's happening, no matter who passes away, no matter who you lose, no matter who steps out of your life, you know, find a reason to want to see the rest of it, because we want to see you here. So. Unless you got anything to add, wrap it up.
We can wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. As usual, ttcharities.org, doing big things. I know the focus right now is Flint, Michigan and the water crisis. As of the taping of this episode, they are in Michigan right now, working with the people there to get water to the residents of Flint, Michigan. The battle is not over, so let's continue to support TT Charities. In that cause and every other cause that they support, ttcharities.org. Hit the website, donate time, money, clothes, food, books, whatever it is they need. If it's nothing but a retweet, a repost, telling a friend, everything helps. So let's take care of our own, be our brother's keeper, and support in any way that you can. CelebrityHairCorp.com. All your hair care needs, make them make you look like the celebrity that you are. I think I came close to it. I got close.
And they claim the frame is no tax and free shipping.
No tax.
I don't know how that works
free
out.
Free shipping.
Because don't you got to get the government there cut?
There was
is
a loophole.
Is it fabricated into the price or something? I don't know.
There was a loophole, and Amazon was exploiting that loophole.
Yeah, but even Amazon is caught now. They're charging tax for everything, so I don't know.
Hey, your man.
I don't know how it works. Listen.
Hey, we got the hookup.
Listen.
If you try and get that tax free.
No tax and free shipping on all your hair, ladies.
If you try and get that tax free, holler at your boy. CelebrityHairCorp.com. So with that being said, thank you all for listening. Love everybody.
Be the light.
Be the light and peace.